This morning, we will begin a brief series entitled Above and Beyond. It's a series that I am introducing in conjunction with the launch of our capital campaign as we seek to raise funds for a future facility relocation. Project Next, as you may know, was the introductory phase of this future facility relocation. And now we are moving into the capital campaign and, Lord willing, property search phase. And we're calling this new campaign Above and Beyond. But this series is about so much more than a capital campaign. My purpose in this series is to grow our faith in what God can do and to urge us all to pray for big things from God. Certainly, facility relocation of the kind we're proposing is a big thing. But I don't want that to be our only focus. It shouldn't be our only focus. It can't be our only focus. There are many, many other big things. Big things in your life and big things in my life that I want to urge us to believe God for and to ask God for. Like the salvation of a loved one, a neighbor or a coworker who seems so far from the Lord right now. It seems impossible. It seems like the last thing you would think would ever happen is for them to come to know Jesus Christ and to serve Him. That's a big thing. That's something we ought to believe God for and to ask Him for. Or maybe the big thing in your life is healing for some serious physical condition. Maybe it's believing God for the big thing of a provision for a job or a better job or even a different career. Maybe it's asking God and believing Him for the big thing of a restored marriage that's broken. Or maybe the restoring of a broken relationship, a broken friendship. These two are big things. My goal in this short series is to remind us all that God can do big things and that He is glorified when we ask Him for these big things. Especially when we believe and ask Him for big things that advance His kingdom. Big things that will result in His glory and a greater spread of the gospel. God loves for us to ask Him big things. These kinds of big things are summarized in our theme, Above and Beyond. This theme, Above and Beyond, is taken from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And I want you to turn there in your Bibles with me if you would. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I'm going to read it for us this morning, and then we'll look at it a bit more closely. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before You and ask Your assistance to help us to see the great God that You are. Great in Your attributes, great in Your benevolence and Your goodness, great in your generosity, great in your providence, great in your desire to hear our pleas and our prayers for big things, great in your ability to answer. Lord, we pray that we would have an expanded vision of who you are and what you want from us. Thank you, God, for being all that we need. Thank you for supplying our every need. Thank you for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now as we come before you and we ask for these big things, Lord, we pray through this process, you would increase our faith in you. You would increase our prayers to you. You would increase our love, honor, and glory for your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In May of 2015, that's May of last year, the members of Austin Bluffs Evangelical Free Church overwhelmingly approved the elders' plan for relocation. A plan that initially calls for the raising of $1 million in order to have cash on hand so that we could eventually, Lord willing, take some first steps toward our eventual relocation as a church. Now, why would we relocate? Well, the short answer is that we want to relocate in order to impact more lives for the Lord. That's it. We want to impact more lives for the Lord. What do people love about our church? Well, there are many things, but among them, and perhaps chiefly among them, is they love the clear and consistent teaching of God's Word. And not just from this pulpit, but in our adult Bible fellowships, our adult Sunday school classes, in our children's classes, and in our men's and women's Bible studies, people realize they can expect to hear the clear and affectionate teaching of God's Word. Again and again, I hear from new people, they say, "We looked and looked for a church that taught God's Word clearly, accurately, passionately, and we were so glad when we found this church." In the last 19 years, we have seen our church go from being a church with an average attendance of around 200 people on Sundays to a church with an average attendance of 500 people on a weekend, and we're grateful for that. This more than doubling of attendance, though, that God has allowed, has seemed to, over time, outgrow the capacity of our facility to meet the needs of this growing ministry. Our desire is to relocate in order to have more room for ministry impact, both now and in the decades to come. Currently, our parking lot, our nurseries, our children's ministry classrooms, our bathrooms, and our foyer are all at pretty crowded and either at or very near maximum capacity. Now, depending on when you come to church and which things you participate in when you come to church, you may or may not have a real grasp on the nature of the problem. For instance, if you only attend one of the services, if you only attend the first service, and you leave after the first service, you say, "I don't get it. Where's the problem? There's plenty of seats in here." Well, the issue is not so much the sanctuary. The issue is the other areas of our facility that are overcrowded and are restricting our ability to grow and to impact more people for the Lord's sake. If you only attend one of the services and you get here early and you don't have children, you may be thinking, "What space problems?" But if you arrive late for the second service, You may find yourself endlessly circling the church parking lot, looking in vain for a parking space. And thankfully, we have a few spots of off-street parking in front of the church and around the church, but those at times fill up too. The parking lot, in fact, is one of the main reasons we went to 3 services to spread the parking demand over those 3 service hours instead of just 2. Now, if you only attend a church service, then you won't probably see our overcrowded nurseries, our student ministries classrooms that are at capacity, or the crowded hallways that service our children's ministry. If you've ever tried to navigate that, parents, you know what I'm talking about. But even the person who only attends a worship service will likely experience our busy foyer. And you're more than likely to have at some point waited in line to use the restroom. This is a fun little fact I like to share that helps to illustrate the situation. We're a church of 500 people and we have 1 men's toilet. May the best man win. So we want to make room for more ministry to more people. And not just more ministry today, but more ministry and broader impact for the decades to come. More room for more God-glorifying, Bible-centered, Christ-exalting, life-impacting ministry. We want to make room to expand ministry impact in the future as well as to better facilitate our current ministries. Simply put, we believe that our current facility is artificially limiting our ability to reach out to and minister to people. We want to remove some of those artificial barriers, and we believe that facility relocation will help us to do just that. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be asking you to join us in this effort by doing 3 things. We're going to ask you to believe, we're going to ask you to pray, and yes, we're going to ask you to give. First, we're going to ask you to believe. To believe that God is able. That God is able to do this. Next week, we're going to ask you to pray. To pray along with us for God to do this work and to provide in an amazing way. And then we're going to ask you to personally be involved and to give toward above and beyond. So please begin now thinking and praying together as a family about how you might participate in this and how you might give toward above and beyond your regular giving. In the coming weeks, we'll be sending you written information about all of this, so you can expect that as well. Now, we realize the prospect of relocating facilities is a big undertaking. This is no small project. Initially, of course, we're seeking to raise $1 million. That's in keeping with the elders' plan for relocation. And that's a lot of money. Now, we're thankful that we already have about $350,000 saved up. Praise the Lord. That means we're, if my math is right, about 35% of the way there. But we still have a long way to go. And we're going to ask every person to be a part of this effort. An undertaking like this can feel intimidating. In fact, it can feel overwhelming. How is all this going to happen? How's it even possible? Just thinking about all the logistical aspects of it. How can it work? Ever felt like that with anything in your own life? Been at a place in your own life where you felt like the odds were against you, that the mountain was too high, that you felt overwhelmed by the sheer size of the obstacle before you? whether it was a spiritual need or financial need or a physical need or a relational need. Those times when we're faced with a challenge that seems bigger than we are able to handle. This is the time when we feel our own inadequacy, when we feel our smallness, our powerlessness. And we turn to the Lord, knowing that only He can do this. Only He can provide what we need. Only He can see a way through. That is a very good place to be. A very good place to be indeed. To rather than being overcome with worry and anxiety, to recognize your powerlessness in the situation and submit your requests to the Lord. To cast your burden upon Him. To trust Him with your future. Ephesians 3:20 tells us that God is able. God is able. Do you believe that today? I hope you'll believe it even more when we're done. God is able. He has the ability. He has the power, the resources, the knowledge. He has everything that is necessary. He is able. Now, more specifically, what is it that Paul is saying that God is able to do? He says here in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. God's ability to provide, to act, and to accomplish exceeds our own ability to ask or even to conceive. The great New Testament scholar F.F. Bruce said this. He said, God's capacity for giving far exceeds His people's capacity for asking or even imagining. Now, some of us have a pretty active imagination. Some of us can dream up some pretty big things. The promise of Scripture is God's ability to act far exceeds your ability to imagine, even imagine. We should thank God that He doesn't restrict the flow of His power or the flow of His blessings to us in our lives according to our measly requests and our impoverished imaginations. Thank you, God, that your blessings to me are not bottlenecked at the point of my brain. That you give to your beloved even in our sleep, when we're not even asking, when we're not even imagining. He gives and He gives and He gives. That's who He is. Look at the language Paul uses here in Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think. God is able to go over and above. He is able to go above and beyond. And that's our theme. Above and beyond. God is able to rise above and outdo all that we could ask and all that we could think. Paul is piling up superlatives here. One of the words Paul uses here has been called a super superlative. It's the highest form of comparison imaginable. It has the sense that God is able to do exceedingly, infinitely above all that we could ask or think. Exceedingly infinitely. No limitations on God and what He's able to do. He's not limited by our requests. He's not limited even by our imaginations. But he exceeds them all, and he exceeds them infinitely. Most of the time, we don't even know what we need. Oh, we say we do, you know, or we think we do. But we really don't know what is best for us at any given moment. But God does. Think about it this way. You're selling your house, and you set an asking price. And working with your realtor, you list it at that asking price. And within 6 hours, the house is sold. What do you immediately think? Well, you're thankful that your house is sold. You're thankful you got what you asked for. But you think, maybe we should have asked for a little bit more. Maybe we didn't set the price quite high enough. Maybe it was a bit too good of a deal for somebody to pass up. But God doesn't work that way. God doesn't limit his blessings to us based upon our asking. We set the bar low in our asking, and God far exceeds what we would even dare to ask. God's ability to strengthen us, to bless us, to provide for us is not restricted by our ability to assess our need. God's ability to rescue and deliver is not limited by our ability to call out to him or even to conceive. This unlimited ability of God is the very same power that is at work in each and every believer in Jesus Christ. Paul says in the immediate context in Ephesians 3:16, he is praying here. This is all the context of a prayer. Verses 20 and 21 are the conclusion of that prayer. It's a doxology. It's an overflowing of praise to God who is able. But 3:16 is the heart of the prayer. Paul is praying for the Ephesians that God would grant them, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. He's praying for their spiritual well-being, for their spiritual growth, for their spiritual maturity. This is the God who is able. This is the God who is at work in us. This is the God we praise, the God who is infinitely able, the God whose capabilities far exceed our abilities to ask or even think. This very same God is actively at work in us who believe, to strengthen, provide, guide, protect in ways that we can't even begin to imagine, much less ask for. That's the context of this doxology in verses 20 and 21. Paul is praying that we might know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that we might be filled up to all the fullness of God. Pretty tall order. That we might know what surpasses knowledge. That we might have a knowledge that goes beyond knowledge. That we might be filled up to the fullness, filled up to the brim, filled up to the point of overflowing with the fullness of God himself. What a prayer. Talk about praying for big things. He knew these people. He knew all their warts, all their blemishes, all their immaturity. And yet he prays big things for them. And he asks God to do big things on their behalf. And he knows that God is able to do far more than he is even asking, or even that he is able to imagine. Because God is in the business of doing big things. You know, that's one of the great themes of the Bible. God is able. Able to do even what is seemingly impossible. Job 42:2 says about God, I know you can do all things. I know that about you, God. You are able. You can do anything. Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 32, in verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Used to sing that in Sunday school. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Anybody? No? Okay. Nothing is too difficult for him. Jeremiah 32, 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Same chapter. Jeremiah says, nothing is too difficult for you. And God says, amen, Jeremiah, you got that right. Because I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Nothing is too difficult for me. Genesis 18, the story of Abraham. Abraham is beyond child-bearing years. His wife Sarah, the same. Beyond the time when they should be able to have children. Way beyond. And of course we know that Sarah hears of God's plan to give her miraculously a child. And she laughs. And she says, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? The answer is no. The Lord says, nothing is too difficult for me. At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Paul, reflecting on this moment, says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, he says, with respect to the promise of God, Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. God would make good on his word. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel visits Mary. And kind of similar to Abraham and Sarah, except this is even more amazing, announces to Mary that she is going to be with child, though she's never known a man. She will conceive a child, though she is a virgin. And Gabriel encourages her and affirms the truthfulness of the message he has delivered. And he says, nothing will be impossible with God. We are a people who believe that. Our faith is founded on that truth. That nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is beyond hope. Mark chapter 10. Jesus says in verse 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What's Jesus saying? His point is, it's nigh unto impossible for a rich person who has need of nothing to come to the place of dependence upon the Lord, to repent of their independence and trust in the Lord. It's nigh unto impossible. And the disciples catch this, and they were even more astonished, and they said to Jesus, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. From Jesus' lips to our ears. All things are possible with God. With people, many things are impossible, but not with God. God wants us to trust Him, to believe in Him. That he is able to do even something so big it seems to us impossible. And us alone, by ourselves, in our own strength, it would be impossible. but to believe that that very thing is entirely possible with God. Jesus encourages his disciples in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. He says to them, have faith in God. Church, that's for us. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask and believe that you have received them, they will be granted to you. In using that mountain metaphor of casting a mountain into the sea, something amazing. I mean, take Pike's Peak. You say to that mountain, be cast into the Pacific Ocean. That's a long way to toss a mountain. What's Jesus doing there? Is he talking really about mountains and oceans? No, he's saying about the impossible. You think of something that is so beyond your ability to conceive. And God says, you pray for that thing, and it will be done. If you pray believing. Jesus began this by saying, have faith in God. Not faith in your own ability. Not faith in your plans and your powers of execution, but faith in God. Next week, we're going to talk about the role of prayer in all of this. Remember, we're asking you to believe, to pray, and to give. Next week, we're going to talk about prayer. But some of you already are like me, and you're saying, now, wait a minute. I'm all for prayer. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. But are you saying that we can ask God for anything, and he'll always make it happen? That's not my experience. Well, it's not my experience either. We know from Scripture, and we have to study the whole of Scripture to understand the theology of prayer, the right understanding of how prayer works and what God promises and what he doesn't. We know from Scripture that sometimes God doesn't give us what we ask for. We know this for a couple of reasons. One, because sometimes we ask for wrong motives. We're asking selfishly. We're asking greedily. James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. We're really praying at the altar of self in those instances, aren't we? Or another reason prayer isn't sometimes answered, at least not in the way that we ask. We're asking for things that are clearly outside of God's will for us. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That according to his will is a very important caveat. You know what? You know what encourages me? Is to know that Jesus didn't even get everything he asked for. Did you know that? Jesus, when he prayed, did anyone ever pray better than Jesus? Did anyone ever pray more purely, more selflessly, more God-honoringly than Jesus? And yet Jesus didn't always get what he asked for. We know in Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, there Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's facing the terrible specter of the cross, the terrible suffering and humiliation he's about to undergo, the terrible separation that he will feel from his Father as he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that he might accomplish the redemption for us. Jesus, facing that unthinkable scenario, prays, he cries out, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. His heart was in agony over this. And he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Did you hear it? Did you hear Jesus' affirmation? All things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. There it is. Perfect outline for our approach to believing great things from God, to praying for great things from God, and yet submitting ourselves to God's will at the end of the day. Notice these three aspects of Jesus' prayer. A declaration of faith in God's ability to do anything. All things are possible for you, Abba, Father. Jesus is praying to his heavenly Father who loves him with an everlasting, eternal love. Jesus addresses him as Father, the Father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. All things are possible for you. And then we see not only the declaration of faith in God's ability, but asking for that able God to do great things on his behalf. Remove this cup. All things are possible for you. So I'm asking you, Father, please remove this cup. What? The cup of his wrath. The cup of God's wrath poured out against sinful humanity that Jesus is about to drink to the full, down to the dregs. Do you think there's a bigger ask you could possibly think of? That God the Father would somehow, in some way, alter his eternal, divine plan and decree? Talk about asking for great things. Remove this cup. But then we see in Jesus a fundamental submission to God's wisdom and will. Yet not what I will, Father, but what you will. Let that be done. I am praying for something great. I'm praying for something great because I know you can do all things, and yet I know your purposes are great too. And therefore, I submit my will to yours. Whatever you want, Lord. You've heard my request. I know your ability, but I submit it all to you because you always do what is right. So there's a proper biblical explanation for not always getting exactly what we ask for in prayer. For we understand that God is all wise and he is all good all the time. And that he is constantly working everything out for our good. Even in not granting the requests that we ask at times. And so at the end of the day, we trust in God and his purposes more than we would desire receiving the thing that we're asking for. So that is how we should understand it when we don't receive what we ask for. But this shouldn't stop us from asking. And it should not stop us from believing that God can do all things. Did Jesus know that God would not answer his prayer? Here's the answer. I have no idea. But it didn't stop him either way from asking, from affirming God's ability to asking for something huge, monumental, mountain be removed into the ocean. And yet, trusting in God's wisdom to either grant or deny that request in keeping with God's purposes for Jesus' life. Whether or not God will answer is not up to us. And it shouldn't stop us from asking. It shouldn't stop us from believing that God is able. Some of us have simply stopped asking God for big things. Some of us have simply stopped believing that God is in the business of doing big things. Maybe out of disappointment, maybe because you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've seen nothing happen. And you've just given up. My goal today is to remind us all that God is a great God and that nothing is too difficult for Him. That God is able to do far more abundantly than all we could even ask or think up. His ability to do big things goes far beyond our wildest imaginations. And so often we have sold God short. We've created a little God, a manageable God, a God that works according to our ways, not His ways. What great thing do you need to believe that God is able to do? What big thing do you need to ask God to do in your life, right now, in what's going on? I want you to renew your commitment today to believing that you serve a God who is able. That God is able to do far beyond anything we could ask or think. I want us all to believe that God is able to make this relocation happen if it's according to His will. That He is able to provide the funding through the faithful giving of His people. You say, well, what if God doesn't provide? Well, that's a possibility, isn't it? Even Jesus didn't have all of His requests answered. Well, if God doesn't provide, then we'll thank Him and we'll praise Him still. Because we know He is good. We know He is wise. And in His sovereign providence, He has chosen a different path for our church. And we'll praise Him because we know, as Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. But that possibility shouldn't keep us from asking. It shouldn't keep us from believing that He is able. It shouldn't keep us from seeking and asking God to do a big thing in our midst. It's clear from Scripture that sometimes we have not because we ask not. So let's ask the Lord together to do this. For kingdom impact, for multiplication of ministry and disciples, for gospel advance today, tomorrow, and in the decades that are to come. I love what William Carey, the great missionary to India and the father of modern mission, said. He said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. That's it. The attempting of great things for God is based on the premise that God is in the business of doing great things. And if we fundamentally don't expect God to do great things, we will certainly never attempt great things for Him. So let's expect great things from the God who is able, who loves to give good gifts to His children, who promises to hear our requests, who is able to do above and beyond what we could even ask or imagine. Let's expect great things from Him, and let's together as a church attempt great things for Him and for His glory. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for revealing Yourself to us in the Scriptures so clearly that You are a God who is able to act and provide and defend and care for and protect, able to complete, able to deliver, able to save and seal. Lord, all of these things, salvation itself is because you are able. We thank you, Lord, for your abilities. Abilities that go above and beyond our ability to think or even to conceive. Our ability to ask or even imagine. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Lord, we trust. Shore up our lack of faith. We look to you. And we ask that you would do this great thing. This big thing that seems overwhelming and beyond our ability. We ask that you would do these great things that have come to the minds of the people who are hearing this message today. As they've thought through the big things in their own life that they need to trust you for, to believe you for, and to seek you for. Lord, be honored and glorified as we bring these requests to you, recognizing our own inability and the fact that you are able. We come to you as a needy people, reliant upon you, and in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.